Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show or watching the show. You can watch the show on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on our social media sites when we live stream at 12 p.m. Pacific time, or you can get the recording of it once it's completed its live stream. Love for you to check that out. Love for you guys to follow us, subscribe. That really helps. How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Become a member. Put in HTBT in the memo field. You'll get the sweet mug. And also, if you do one of the higher subscriptions, you'll get a mug from the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You'll get a t-shirt, and you'll get tons of exclusive content. You'll get a bunch of other stuff that is just really amazing. Great content. That's just a blessing. It's a blessing to me getting to watch it and learn as well. I'm learning new things all the time, especially with what Toby's bringing out. And man, that stuff is hot. Toby always brings it. He never disappoints, that's for sure. And I think that's all. So today, there's a bunch of different things I want to talk about today. Some student loan stuff. There's a new way to pay for college that I think is just an absolutely terrible idea. We have the Fed rolling $4 billion off their balance sheet last week that made a little hiccup in the stock or in the interest rates in the 10-year Treasury note that we've talked about quite a bit. And recently, Social Security has some new news that came out that I don't know if you've heard of or not. So I want to talk about those things today. The first is that the Fed drained $4 billion from its balance sheet last week, and the yield for the 10-year Treasury rose to 2.614 on the 17th, and then it dipped again after those Treasury notes expired on to 2.549, so almost a point or percentage point, a tenth of a percentage point increase just from rolling off that $4 billion. And I just want to bring that to your attention again, because there are a bunch of Treasury mortgage-backed securities, about $1,000 billion or more than $1,000 billion, like 14,000 or 1,400 billion dollars or 1,400 billion on the balance sheet that the Federal Reserve has. And they just let $4 billion of it roll off. And we saw an increase in Treasury notes in the 10-year. And you know, that's not really a big deal. It came back down the next day. And $4 billion, yeah, that's a lot of money in our terms, but really in the whole grand scheme of things, it's not that bad. They just decided not to reinvest in it. But I wonder what happens exponentially. And my hunch is if they continue to roll off those billions on their balance sheet, that there are going to be some significant impacts that happen. Hopefully they are thinking through this and thinking of a way to gradually do it and not shoot up interest rates. We've talked about it before. There's a lot of negative consequences with higher interest rates. The good news is we have been having historical low interest rates because we've had historical inflation as well. Nothing like the 80s where it was in the teens, the high teens of interest. So it's not that the world would be over per se, but it's just our economy is so used to these low interest rates, and our forecasting, our predictions, our strategies are based on low interest rates. So all of a sudden, to get this just roll, this big, huge roll off of the balance sheet, they might send a spike to interest rates and might cause some disruption in the economy. So it's just something to keep an eye on. Whenever one group entity like the Federal Reserve that is not part of the government, but it's privately owned company that is monitored by our government. And whenever someone like that has this much power where they can affect how much we can borrow, especially for like homes, businesses, and all those things, we want to keep it attentive to it. We want to be wise to it. We don't want to just ignore it and throw our hands up in the air. So that is why I wanted to bring that up, because there are going to be in the future where more of this is going to come off the balance sheet, more of this, these bonds and those mortgage-backed securities and those kinds of things are going to be coming off, and we just need to keep an eye out for them, especially when you're in the bond market. I don't like the bond market. Don't suggest getting into the bond market. But for those of you that are in the bond market, you probably are watching this really keenly. But it is important to know about the bond market, because especially if you're a larger company issuing bonds and needing to get some debt like Netflix, I've been talking a lot about Netflix because I've been investing a lot in their options lately. I won't buy stock in Netflix, but buying the options, they're selling some junk bonds to finance some of their new movies in production. Yeah, that's the way they say it. And I just think that's a whole fascinating thing. But for most of us small business entrepreneurs, you don't really need to worry about the bond market as much. The next thing I wanted to talk about is earnings. Now, earnings come out every quarter, or they come out quarterly, and it lags behind because they're talking about the previous quarter and they need time to get their numbers right and let everything settle. And there was just this big, like, negative cloud, like a bunch of Eeyores going around, moping around, like, this earnings season's going to be terrible. People are going to miss their earnings expectations. And there are a lot of times there's these there are expectations of expected earnings per share. And then like one of the big benchmarks is, did they hit their expectations? Did they come under it? Did they exceed it? And for a lot of companies, it's been really positive. People have been exceeding expectations, and this Eeyore crap has just not been paying off. And I wonder how much of it is just this psychological effect, maybe not even political per se, like thinking that Trump administration, what he's doing is gonna take things off the rails, because I think he's kind of proven himself that, yeah, there are some things that are bad, but a lot of what he's done has been good for the economy, getting rid of regulations, the tax reform, and how he wants to continue to do those things. But I think there's still a psychological effect from the crash in the Great Recession 2006 through 2008-2009. And people are really scared because things are going well. And I almost wonder if people are starting to think, like, this is too good to last. And of course, there is going to be a recession someday. But we're just, like, overly negative. We're overly putting on the Eeyore hat. And we're being really pessimistic. And I think there is a lot of money to be made right now because the economy is strong. I've been talking about that for two quarters now, where I believe that we still have a bunch of good quarters ahead. Now, a couple quarters ago, I was saying probably a year or two before the recession hits, but I think it might even be a year or two from now. We'll see. I'm still, like, really encouraged by just all the fundamentals of our economy and what's happening there. We'll see if the Democrats win in this upcoming election, and that's gonna have a definite impact if they especially wanna implement any type of that Green Deal. That's going to be insane, or any kind of appeasement to the left with their higher taxes and all that stuff. But I honestly don't know how that they are going to win when this is their platform. So I'm actually really optimistic. And I just wanted to make a note of that, because I don't know if you've been reading the financial news. If you're investing, you should be, right? You should be treating this like a small business of your own, where you're doing the due diligence, that you're putting in the research, you're putting in the time, you're doing economic research, you're doing market research, and then you're honing in on a specific companies. So you should be reading this, and you might have been hearing a lot of negativity, but it really hasn't panned out. And that is where the art comes in, of being able to weed through the news that is just noise and then finding the facts that are going to give you information to succeed. And that is the art of it. It's very tricky because there's so much information that we need to have wisdom to understand what information to use and what information to discard. So earnings have been really looking good. Now, I want to talk about student loan debt in two ways, and I'm going to talk about why I'm talking about it. That seemed redundant, but there was a story about a new way to finance your education, and we'll get into that in a second. But I want to throw this graph up, and it is from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and it's showing the increase of loan debt that is outstanding. Now, you see on the right side, the y-axis, the one that is vertical, has 0.5, 1, 1.5, and it has a little T on the top. And what does that mean? $1 trillion. That in 2018, the student loan debt outstanding is approaching $1.5 trillion. And you've seen this from 2008 all the way to 2018. So over the last 10 years, you're seeing this step up gradually from over, it was like probably what, 0.75 $1 trillion or $750 billion to now it's $1.5 trillion. $1 trillion, $500 billion of student loan debt. And I want to take this opportunity to remind us of what value is. It's from our very first show. I've talked about it since then as well, but our very first show, man, 170 episodes ago, it's been so long, where value is the benefit minus the cost. Now, if you look at this chart, you're seeing the cost go up, right? More and more people are taking more and more debt on to pay for college tuition because tuition is going higher and higher. And the reason it is going higher and higher is because the good old federal government in their good graces and knowledge and infinite wisdom decided to pay to help students pay for their college by giving them student loans and making it really easy to get loans. Loans that you can't get rid of if you go to bankrupt, if you become bankrupt or you claim bankruptcy or go through bankruptcy, that's what I was looking for. It's gonna follow you the rest of your life. You are stuck with your student loans. Now, it wouldn't be as big of a deal if the benefit of college stepped up like this as well. The benefit of college is becoming less and less because so many people have a college degree. The quality of education is decreasing more and more because more people are going, there's more colleges coming out, the quality isn't as high. And we're even seeing employers not wanting people with college educations anymore. With that, also, you have the cost increasing year over year. And a lot of times, if you're going to college right now, semester over semester or trimester over trimester. And what is this doing? It is making the rate of the value of college go down, like be destroyed. It is a disaster because the value is benefit minus the cost. And the benefit, the education, the quality of learning that we are getting out of the young people coming out of college is pathetic. People are not informed. People are not educated. People are not being taught to think. And at the same time, the cost is going up. And it's inverted at this point where the cost far exceeds the benefit, which means there's negative value. And so when you look at this total student loan debt outstanding of approaching $1.5 trillion, you're not seeing an investment where it's going to pay off in the future. You're seeing the future being poorer because they have these student loan debts and it's attached to something that is not going to be a positive ROI. The ROI is going to be negative. They're going to be paying interest on these loans for a long time, and they're not going to be able to pay them off for 10, 15, 20 years, maybe their whole life, depending on how much they've taken. And what does that mean? That means they're not going to be able to put that money that they're putting to paying off their student loans, the principal and interest, into buying a house. It means they're not going to be able to invest into a corporation or to an idea that they have, or they're not going to be able to buy that second car. And all of these things that you're not going to be able to do with the money that you have to put towards your payment because you went out and got an education that just isn't the quality education anymore. And I'm thankful that a lot of people are starting to see this. But for you young people out there in high school, you need to make sure that if you are going to college, that it's going to give you the ROI that you need, which means you need to do two things. One is not go to college to find yourself, but go to college because you know what you want to do. And if that means that you are not going to college right out of high school, that's okay. It is better to take a couple years off to find what you want to do in life and then make the decision to go to college, than to go to college, go for 6 to 7 years because you have to change classes, you have to retake classes, the tech classes you took don't count towards your new major, and then you find yourself in $60,000 of debt. It's better to wait a couple years and know what you want to do and make sure that it's worth it by going into a major and getting a degree in something that's going to give you the ROI. And that's first of all. So no, don't go to college to find yourself. No, go to college because you know what you want to do. And then number two, make sure that what you are going to college for is going to that's part of one. Number two, make sure that the college you're going to is going to be affordable for you and you're not going to be going into this astronomical amount of debt. You need to make sure you're in a major that's going to give you an ROI. And I'm like, you don't need to go get your degree in art. You can take art classes, you can be an apprentice under an artist. I'm no knocking on artists, but you don't need a degree for art, trust me. You're not gonna go to a school and they're gonna teach you to be an artist. Either you have the skills and you have the dedication and the work ethic to do it, or you don't. You're not gonna learn it in art drawing 101. And then two, you need to go to a college that's affordable. You don't need to go most of the time to the best schools in the country. And you definitely don't need to go to the most expensive schools. There's a lot of private schools that are really expensive where you could just go to a state school and get the similar education, the similar benefit of those private schools. So please don't get tricked into that. If you have kids that are getting around the age where they're going to school, please be aware of that. Don't put a noose of debt around their heads. It is going to haunt them the rest of your life. You're not setting your kids up for adulthood. You're not setting them up for success. Just because we've been taught as us, we've been taught by our parents to us to go to college, and if you don't go to college, you're a failure. We just need to step out of that mindset, because it is not true. You don't need to go to college to be successful. Now, you do need to go to college to be a doctor. You need to go to college to be an engineer, to be a scientist, and all those STEM subjects, which again, I'm not against, but make sure that it is a school that is affordable and not overpriced. You need to be looking at price. But for all those other things, you really don't need it. And I would dare say you probably don't even need it to get a business degree. You could educate yourself by starting your own company and spending money on doing research, buying books, watching YouTube, watching podcasts about business, and learn far more than you would going to college. Now, there are some core things that you need to learn, but you don't need to go to college to do that. You need to learn accounting, you need to learn finance, you need to learn marketing, you need to learn about statistics and numbers and how to use data, you need to learn how to use Excel. These are all skills, though, that you don't need to go to school. School no longer, or university, colleges no longer have a stranglehold on knowledge. Knowledge is dispersed everywhere through the internet. And so now you are free to learn and excel and to gain knowledge of things in other places besides universities. The information is no longer siloed. Now, the last thing I wanted to hit in this episode was the news that Social Security is going to exceed the amount of money that it's coming in by 2020 and will be depleted by 2035. And I bring that up because that means that you and me as millennials and younger are not going to be seeing Social Security. And I'm not going to be a political about this. I'm not going to say like, oh, we shouldn't have had it, but it's just a common facts. We don't need to be political about it. We just need to acknowledge it as truth. And why I want to bring it up is because of this simple fact is you should not, if you are a millennial or younger, you should not plan on having Social Security. When you are planning for your retirement for the last of your years, which you should be at this age, you should be investing, you should have a strategy, you should be talking to a financial advisor, do not account for Social Security. If you get it somehow, some miracle, they figure out a way to fix the Ponzi scheme, and or they take out more debt to just fund it, and they keep taking on more debt, and you do get something, then awesome, you'll have something. But don't plan on it. Do not rely on Social Security taking care of you the rest of your life. You need to have a financial plan in place that is going to take care of you so you're not a burden to your children, to other family members, and for our country as a whole. So make sure that you are looking into that, setting that up, having life insurance. I don't know if you're one of those people that's kind of weird to talk about death and thinking about you dying or whatever, but love your family enough to talk about death and your death and make sure that you have life insurance, especially if you are the only one earning income in your family. Make sure that your family's taken care of by buying life insurance, not through your employment, because if you get fired, it goes away. On its own, term life insurance, kind of quote, it's really cheap if you're younger, you're not smoking, you're healthy, all that stuff, just do it. Because you don't want to have an accident and then your family not taken care of. That's not being a wise steward of your resources. All right, now let's go out and be successful together. God bless.